everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. This is episode 183 for Friday, May 2nd, 2014. Welcome to the show. It's been a hell of a week. It's been a really long week, guys. I'm tired. Do I look tired? How do I look?
Tired.
It's been a long week. If you haven't seen, Pensacola's been in the news a little bit this week. We got a little bit of rain. Can you believe that? Like 20-something inches in basically in 12 hours. I have no words. It was crazy. Thanks, by the way, on a personal note, thanks to everybody who asked. I'm fine. Family's fine. A lot of people here aren't. Some pretty major roads got washed out. A lot of people, I mean, it's weird. Like, it's in some ways it's worse than a hurricane, and in some ways I hate to say not as bad as a hurricane, because, I mean, anytime somebody loses a house or has to dry out their whole house and rip out carpet and deal with mold and everything, it's bad. But it's insane. I don't think it's as bad as, like, Arkansas and Mississippi were dealing with the tornadoes, and certainly not as many people dead, but it's been a long week. My kid can't go back to daycare for at least, I think, 2.5 more weeks. It's nuts. How are you guys?
Dry.
Not it's as kind of hard to complain about anything.
I spoiled it for the rest of you. Andrew was going to complain about his week, and he's like, nope, can't do it now. Andrew Martinick in Seattle, everybody.
How's it going? Other than, you know, unless you live down where your roads turned into rivers this week.
Alex Dobie in England.
Hey, good evening, everyone.
Jerry Hildenbrand in Bush Country.
Hola.
Not like Texas, but is that a Bushman's hat? Or boonie
hat? This is a boonie hat, I guess it's called. I don't know. It's a fishing hat. You could tell if you could smell it.
And I am Phil Nickinson. I run this little thing here. So, yeah, I mean, never mind, like, my sob story, which really isn't all that bad, since we were fine. But, I mean, we had a lot of Android stuff going on this week. Never mind floods. We had, what, 3 events on Tuesday that we ended up at? I almost want to say 4. Was there a 4th thing going on? I don't remember. So we'll get to those.
At least 3.
Yeah, let's start with, I think, the important one. The really important one. Andrew went down to San Francisco for, like, how long were you in town? Andrew did what I have only done once in 4 years, by the way, which is travel, travel in the morning, go to an event that afternoon, and then go right back home that night. I've done it once.
I was on the ground less than 12 hours in San Francisco.
Wow.
That was good. Actually, even getting close to 10 hours, it was a fun little trip, and it was worth it because we got, the super phone of everybody's, lust, apparently, as of late, the OnePlus One. And we got to talk to the CM guys and talk to the OnePlus people that, you know, not everybody has had the chance to meet because it's kind of a newly formed company, which is kind of interesting. But the real thing is that we have the phone that everybody's, you know, they've been trolling us with for, you know, how many months now? Oh, look at that. And it's having the bug that I've...
Oh, it did it again. Yeah. All right. So we know it's real now. You weren't just making it up. Explain what that
is. There you go. Okay. So, well, we'll just jump right into that then. So it's playing Number 10 by Audioslave, because that's the first song in my Google Play Music library, and it seems to randomly just play Google Play Music just whenever it feels like it. So that should bring me to the
level for just telling it when to stop music.
Right, that'll bring me to the point that the software is not final on this, and the device itself actually is not final. These phones were just made, and then they brought them over for the event, and then gave them to a few lucky people. So. We're still, I think we wrote the story about it, full production is expected in June, so we're still a good ways off from a finalized hardware and software.
So it sounds like they're doing a limited run of this thing for the people in the contest, the smash your phone thing and press to start off with, and actually most people, even with the invite system, probably aren't going to be able to get hold of it until next month, right?
Right. So that'll give you an indication of how early ours are already, reviewing from the press perspective. They also said that we should expect multiple OTAs in the next couple weeks as things get ironed out. It actually hasn't even gone through Google certification yet.
Hmm.
So it's Right. So it's definitely not complete yet. So we're not going to jump into this and give it a 3-day review, especially on top of all the other reasons why we don't do that. But it's going to be worthwhile to let it settle down a little bit and make sure that we don't give it an unfair pass, as you know, it's not ready to go yet. But it feels solid as hardware goes. This doesn't feel like a prototype or anything like that. It feels finished. They have to hedge a little bit when it's actually not, technically up to snuff as far as their quality concerns go.
So one thing a lot of people are saying when they first saw this is it looks a lot like an Oppo phone. It looks a lot like, I think, the Find 5 was the
example. I know. I'm sorely unprepared. I have one in this drawer right here.
So apparently that wasn't too great with build quality, I seem to remember you saying.
The interesting thing was the issue with the Find 5, as I'm completely out of frame here, the issue with the Find 5 wasn't that the quality was bad, it's just the ergonomics were terrible. It was kind of designed to just look cool when it sat on, on a pedestal somewhere, rather than actually being a usable phone. So the OnePlus One seems to have taken this design, which there's that. Was obviously really blocky and heavy and thick. And then they went to this, which, I mean, let's be honest, it has buttons in all the same places and kind of just looks the same.
Andrew, walk me through the basic specs again.
So it's actually top of the line, right? 16 or 64 gigs of storage, Snapdragon 801 processor, 3 gigs of RAM, top-end GPU at Adreno 320 or something like that. It's got 1080p display, all the things that you want as far as you're checking the boxes off for the internal specs anyways.
Cool. I mean, that's kind of the big deal about this thing, right? I mean, it's
and, top and specs $299, by the way.
And what?
$299 for 16 and $349 for 64 gigs.
Kind of interesting they've cut out the 32 in the middle.
Yeah, they talked about that a little bit. Well, it also doesn't have an SD card slot. So they kind of talked about that where they said, we want to get the low-end price or the lowest possible price that, is... that's the goal. Offer the 16 gig that's going to be good for a lot of people. And then the people that want higher storage... they're going to want to go all the way to 64 since there's no SD card. So, and they said, hey, that's what it costs to go from 16 to 64. Like, that's what it actually costs is the $50 bump. And so they're not going to charge you a $100, $200 bump to go up four times storage. And that's good because, we like to see a little more transparency about that. This is what it should cost to jump up to the extra storage.
And people, I think, are maybe too used to being fleeced with extra flash memory. They get into their minds that it actually costs an extra 100 or 200 to, basically just swap out a different module in extra storage. That's definitely a good step. I think it'll win a lot of fans doing that.
And when you think about it as a percentage of the whole price, they wouldn't be able to get away with an extra $200 to go up to 64 gigs when the phone is only $300 itself.
The value of the phone.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little more stomachable, I guess, when you're talking about a $650 phone. $200 is a smaller portion of that price, although, it's still absurd.
How's the camera looking? Because I was kind of intrigued by what you showed of the camera itself in the gallery app.
So it's kind of interesting because that's the one... look at that, and there's your music right again. There we go. I've listened to a lot of audios last couple of days.
Whether you want to or not.
The camera is interesting because it's they went with the high-end specs. Again, 13-megapixel Sony X-More camera, so it's got the right sensor. I think they said a 6 or a 7 element lens. They're doing all of the right things there. And the software is a new design for CyanogenMod. They've gone with a clean slate, started over. They do this really interesting thing where you switch between different effects and HDR and things like that by just swiping up and down on the screen, and you choose what order and which effects are available. And so you can quickly switch between them. All the manual settings are super easy to get to. I'm not going to be able to say definitively how good the camera is until I, you know, really get down to it. But so far, it seems like capture speed is quick and the quality is good. So, as you would expect, I mean, the hardware and software is there to take really nice pictures, but we'll see where it ranks after I give it a full look.
I kind of almost want to say we need to, like, hold off on actually revealing this thing, like, write it as an initial sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm worried to give it too, you know, come up with too many impressions before it's finalized. But, you know, I'm at least refamiliarizing myself with CyanogenMod and, you know, getting into the new features as well. You know, but, you know, little music bugs aside, which, hey, that might just be my device, I'm not entirely sure. A little music bugs aside, everything is, you know, they're, you know, the phone's not going down in flames every day or anything. Everything's stable and fast and smooth as you would expect in this hardware.
So how are you finding just the physical size of it? Because it is a 5.5-inch screen in the front of this thing. The bulkiness of it looks kind of like it might be a problem. I think we've seen side-by-side pictures of it next to the Note 3, which is got a bigger screen. It's 5.7 or something like that. The footprint, I think, for the OnePlus One is actually a little bit bigger.
Right. So there's it next to the Nexus 5. So it's, you know, it's large. It's 5.5 inches. It's actually considerably larger than the Galaxy S5 as well. It feels a lot like the Note 3 in size, where you don't think that you can just, you know, reach up to that notification bar super easily with one hand. It still takes a little bit of moving around in your hand. Luckily, it's really has enough tack to the back of it that you don't feel like it's going to slip out of your hands, and it's curved around the side so it actually fits in your hand properly, which is kind of an issue with the Find 5, which is where it has had really sharp edges. So as far as that goes, the ergonomics are okay, but 5.5 inches, it's, you know, no matter how small the bezels are or how smooth it is, it's just not, you can't hold on to it very well in one hand, and that's kind of the trade-off, right? You get the bigger display for everything you look at, but, you know, when you go to reach up to look at your notifications, it's kind of a hassle.
How have you been finding the buttons? Because we've actually got you've got two separate ways you can deal with that, right? You've got the on-screen buttons, you've also got optional capacitive buttons.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing is that's one thing that's actually helped with the ergonomics is turning on the software keys, because you don't have to reach the bottom bezel is pretty small. And very similar to the Note 3 and the S5, reaching all the way down to that very small bezel to hit those buttons, especially the multitasking button on the left side, can be kind of tough. So once you put on the software buttons, you know, the navigation is moved up just a little bit, so you don't have to reach down as far. And considering you have 5.5 inches to work with, it's not that big of an issue to add the software keys. And I've turned them on and haven't ever considered going back to the capacitive ones.
Kind of a weird choice, though, isn't it?
I think it's very weird. I still think it's weird, but not as weird as I initially thought, because once you turn the capacitive keys off, you actually cannot see them. It's next to impossible to see them, because they haven't done any kind of outlining or coloring of the capacitive keys. Unless they're backlit, they're completely invisible.
So it's kind of having the choice there at all,
right?
Be able to change the way the buttons are a big part of a phone design. That's what you interact with most of the time. I can't think of any other phone that's given you that much control over the way you deal with buttons. It's a little bit strange.
And the bigger thing about it is that the capacitive keys and the on-screen keys are different. So the capacitive keys is actually a menu key on the left, a back button on the right, and then a home button in the middle, where when you switch to the on-screen keys, you get the standard back-home multitasking. And it actually means the software has to be made in a way to support both of them regardless. So, for example, long pressing the home button, let me see, I'm trying to remember. There's a couple, double tapping the home button works as multitasking as well. So because the capacitive keys are a menu and a home, you don't have the multitasking, you have to double tap home. So the software, it's an unfortunate kind of compromise there, because the software has to be ready for both kinds of keys. So even if you choose to never touch those capacitive keys, some of those remnants are left in the software.
So understanding that this is, we'll call it pre-release, right? They're still working on it.
Very pre-release.
Why would you buy this over a Nexus? Would you do it just for the size, for the step up in specs?
At this point, it really seems like you would do it for the size. It's maybe built a little more solidly than the Nexus 5, considering that the Nexus 5 feels unusually light for its size. And if you have the white version, maybe a little cheap with the soft plastic on the sides. But the OnePlus One is giving you just a wholesale bigger screen. And, you know, if you're a CyanogenMod kind of person, it could be offering you a different software experience. But really, the size and build quality is, you know, I guess if size can be better. The build quality is better, the size is larger, and it's roughly the same price, right? But the value proposition is a bit different. You're taking a different software experience, right? It's not stock Android anymore. CM's doing their own thing, and it's good, but it's something different. So it's a different value proposition, even though it's the same price as the Nexus 5, or $50 less than the Nexus 5.
Did you have to smash anything to get that?
Thankfully, no, I didn't have to smash it. I still have plenty of phones laying around that I didn't have to smash.
I joke, but we do need to point out that that OnePlus today said, hey, guess what? We're picking the 100 people, and if they don't want to, they don't actually have to smash the phone. They could just donate. And I forget the group. We'll have a link in the show notes. And, you know, totally go check out the group. And that's a good move. It's actually very much kind of something I might have done. You piss everybody off by saying, smash your phone, and we all get up in arms, and then they go and do the right thing, and then we're all happy with them again. So that's good, and so kudos to OnePlus for doing that. Jerry, you've been really quiet. You got any questions about this thing?
Ask away. I've only had it for a few days, so give me the things that you're thinking about.
Pick it up, look at it, and say, okay, Google, and if it does anything, then I'm interested. Show me something new. This looks like a different shape of the same exact stuff we've seen from everybody for the past year and a half. I want new things.
What do you want?
I don't know. I want somebody that can invent them. If I have a Nexus 5, I don't see any reason to buy this phone. If I don't have if I have a Galaxy S3 or something older, then yeah, I've got a decision to make, and I'm interested, and I think Andrew nailed it. The real difference that you're going to see is the size. There's maybe subtle software differences, and, you know, yeah, you've got better specs. I hate to say that you'll not see any benefit from. I'm talking from the Nexus 5. 2 gigs of RAM is more than enough for the Nexus 5. It doesn't need 3. So I'm curious where this is going to fit in and who's going to pick this up.
I think that
I really don't
sorry,
have
go ahead.
I don't have a lot to say here. This is one I want to watch.
Well, I think that this is more of a showcase for what CM is doing and breaking out on their own and having their own software experience that isn't just a way to get stock Android on your phone, because there are other ways of doing that now. And yeah, this is a phone that was...
Well,
that was
back up, this ain't any more stock Android than, you know, anything else out there.
I didn't say it was. I said it wasn't.
Good.
So, yeah, it's about getting their own experience onto a phone. It's about, you know, them working with the manufacturer, having something that's built. So you're not just a CM edition, but a CM phone from the ground up.
Right, and I talked to them a bit about that, and it's kind of a huge deal after the Oppo N1 was this, you know, it was a special edition to have CM on it, and this is coming out of the box, and it's launching as a launch device for a new version of CM that's bringing this new camera, bringing the gallery out of beta, and a brand new rewritten theme engine. So it's kind of a big deal to, you know, it's just a change of pace for CM after doing their regular updates and their different release tracks to come out on a device with a new software idea.
I see it from their end. I can understand why fans of CyanogenMod can get excited, because there's a lot there to get excited about. But back to what I was saying, you know, in a month I'll be able to have that same software on my Nexus 5, I'm sure.
Yeah, pretty much.
But will it work as well?
You mean make Google Music play randomly? And
well, that doesn't count. Come on.
You know, I'm just playing. I, you know, on the Nexus 5, will it work as well? Probably. on the HTC M8, will it work as well? No. Not by a mile. It's not ever going to work as well.
I'm excited for them. I'm excited for CM as a company to do something like this, because that's something nobody else, I think, of that scale has really done. And in that respect, it's pretty exciting.
And it's a different idea all around, as far as, we've seen a lot of smaller manufacturers come up, especially out of China, and they try to do their own software experience. And it's just, they don't have the money, the people, the resources, anything to do it right. And maybe this is a different way to go. You know, you have another company. CM's growing at a pretty good rate, and they're hiring a lot of developers to do a lot of interesting things. And maybe this is a different way to look at it, instead of bringing everything in house right off the start.
Kind of an interesting point is, if they're selling that, you know, that they're a new company, if they're selling this for $300, or is it $300 or $350 the starting price?
$300.
So if they're selling it at this point, at this price point, basically the same as the Nexus 5, how are they making any money on this?
Crickets. Couldn't tell you if they are or not.
They kind of have to, don't they?
I've always said that these rumors that Google loses money on the Nexus 5 are all full of crap anyway. You know, they're not making a lot, but they're making money, or they wouldn't be doing it. And I'm sure the same thing can be said for OnePlus. Somebody's making money, or they wouldn't be making these phones.
I think the same could be said. Go ahead, Alex.
With OnePlus, you're not funding a massive marketing campaign the way you are when you buy a Samsung phone, basically. Their marketing is all about the smash your phone campaign, the, you know, never settle stuff. They're targeting this to smartphone nerds and doing it using the internet mainly.
No, we are marketing. Their marketing.
Yeah, pretty much. So you're not dealing with TV ads that you have to fund. You have to get that money back through sales. So, maybe it's not so difficult to see how they're making money on this.
Jerry, you were going to say something a minute ago about not being surprised.
The guys at CM, and man, this just, I feel bad saying it, but those are the guys that I expected to see. When the Moto X came out, it had things that were new and were different, and we were all like, oh, this is really cool. The OnePlus is the phone that I expected to see something really different and really cool on. And unfairly, I'm a little bit disappointed that it's not there.
See, and I disagree with you. I think that's fine. I think for the scope of this project, and think of it like that. Think of this as a project of you're a company that makes software. Let's get some hardware out the door with our software. Let's take care of that first and get that to work and get it done well as you can possibly do in the time you have to do it, and then worry about putting in the toys.
Well, and that's what I said. It's unfair that I think this way. I do realize it's unfair, but I still can want.
Sure.
I think that they're already learning a lot of lessons going through this whole thing, partnering with different manufacturers and going through things that they've never had to go through before with their normal Cyanogen mod projects. So I think it's fair to give them a little more time, you know, a few different releases to see where they're going. What they've been able to do, I mean, it's a huge undertaking to get to this point even. So I think that it's fair to think that they could, you know, do something that, you know, could actually be really new and revolutionary to, you know, even us jaded smartphone people.
So that's that. Was it shipping June-ish for the public?
June-ish, I think, was the story.
Cool.
So that's not the only thing we're going to have. Obviously, there's a lot more to come.
Oh, yeah,
that.
Totally. Well, good. I'm glad we have one. I'm glad we're taking a look at it. Thing number two from Tuesday, it was HTC, and, well, actually, it was a Sprint event, right? And we got a new version of the M8. It's a Harman Kardon edition of the M8, so it's got some software tweaks. I haven't used it yet. I haven't seen it.
It looks nice, though, doesn't it?
I like it. I've heard a lot of people say they don't. I mean, that's subjective, I guess. But, it's black and champagne and has different audio software, and you get $150 set of earbuds for free with it, and it gets the Harman Kardon name out there, which is good, I guess. It's just kind of odd to come out so quickly after the original M8 on Sprint.
And it, you know, and after the whole Beats thing.
That's less surprising. Here's my question, right? Is the software really any different than what's in all the other M8s?
Well,
software is different. I mean, we should say that it is just software. The only hardware differences are the external ones. You know,
are we 100% sure? I've been under the weather the past couple of days and didn't look, because there was a question about that.
That was my understanding. Last Friday.
Yeah, it's just stuff I got on the software level.
Okay.
There you go.
Then, yeah. I think Sprint owes a lot of people a $150 set of headphones.
Yeah, that's the question. I just don't know. I mean, it's cool to see, I guess. And HTC has always been about the audio, but you know, I have zero problems listening to anything on it as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, like, I just don't need something that different. And I don't even tweak my EQ anymore, right? If I want to, I can. You can get apps. It's built into most music players now as it is, but like,
I think if you buy this, you would buy it for the design and for the free headphones and not necessarily for any of the software stuff. Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I just know if are they priced the same? Like I said, you guys know I've been sick the past little while. Haven't been paying any attention.
Yeah, no, if it's not exactly the same price, it's real close.
Then why would anybody not buy this one over the other one?
They want the different color.
Yeah.
For the same price, $150 worth of headphones.
So here's the difference. I'm looking at tweets from Jeff Gordon from HTC. He says, all HTC One, both the M7 and M8, support playing 24-bit, 96 kilohertz FLAC audio. The new edition supports 24-bit, 192 kilohertz FLAC, which actually I believe the G2 did last year.
Oh.
If I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Because they made a big deal about that, and then we listened to the Vienna Boys Choir over and over. I don't know. I mean, for as much as I love the speakers on the M8, I don't know that sort of thing matters. I don't think that most people can tell listening to music, especially when you're listening to crappy music, and get off my lawn. And,
if
we should all go back to vinyl.
Well, if they're just streaming music on top of that, it's, you know, not necessarily getting the highest quality in the first place.
So I don't know. Doesn't matter to me.
You can tell, 192 kilobit stream from, a 48K.
Oh, sure.
You can tell. But can you tell on a phone speaker?
Probably not. On the M8, I bet you can. Just because of what it is. I don't know. It just seemed the timing is odd to me more than anything else.
Right. So so if they had released this as like a mid cycle bump 5 months from now, you wouldn't have as much of a problem with the juxtaposition against the original one on Sprint.
Yeah, but it's been almost 2 months now? No. Month and a half? When did the M8 come out?
It was 25th of March.
Yeah, it's March 25th. So a little more than a month.
Yeah, I kind of think of this as like the different colors of the M7, which sort of trickled out over the course of last year. Mm. It's the same phone, but kind of different. I don't think this, like I said, the software tweaks I don't think are hugely important for most people. It's going to be more about the color, the design, and the free headphones.
And it's one phone on one carrier in one country as well. It's the addressable market is already very, very small.
So we had that. We had an Acer event as well on Tuesday. Mark swung by it for us. New tablet. Cool. Don't have a whole lot more to say about that.
One more to add to the mix, right?
Yeah, basically. It looks nice from the outside, but
yeah, it does.
What else? The LG G3 has been just everywhere this week. It's leaking.
And, well, we have a date for the announcement as well, don't we?
Yeah, we assume it's the G3 announcement. So May 27th and 28th, depending on which part of the world you're in. Six cities. I'm trying to remember them out loud. New York, or the big ones in London, New York, San Francisco, Singapore. I forget all the others.
I assume there's one in Seoul.
I would assume so, yeah. So, no, I mean, they're going big with this, and that's good. We've started seeing more leaks. We got a clearer version of that earlier one that was all filtered and stuff with the notes beside it. I'm not buying that this thing has a removable battery.
Well, here's the thing. There are different versions of LG phones in different countries. The sure. Korean G2, I think, had a removable battery, and it had a different, it had a lower capacity battery.
Oh, that's true.
And they tend to mix it up between territories, so that might well be, you know, the Korean version, and we might get a different one for global. We'll that see.
Forgot about LG that. Has spent too much time making embedded batteries of all sorts of shapes and sizes that bend and flex and fill. Why would they throw all that away and put a standard square lithium-ion battery?
Yeah, no, I agree. And looking at the pictures, it certainly doesn't look like a removable battery. I mean, it looks like everything's in there tight. So
we all need to hope it's not a removable battery, because that would be a step backwards from LG.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the other big rumor is the screen for this thing. It's probably going to be the first mass market 2K phone, 1440p.
Insane.
Yep. Is it worth it? Is it a waste of
energy? I'll go on record and say that's a mistake.
They're going to have to take some kind of cut in quality or brightness or
battery life.
Power savings.
I think it's going to be the battery, because that's something that is on all the time, right? You need the extra computing power to throw pixels across that screen. And even if you have the 805, the Snapdragon 805, like was rumored, more energy that you could be using doing other stuff, and certainly more than you would be using if you had a standard 1080p panel.
And my biggest thing is, you're going to pick up the G2 with the older Snapdragon 800 and the 1080p display, and the G3 with the 2K display and the new Snapdragon 805, play the same game on both. The old phone's going to play it better, because it's pushing about 2 million less pixels.
Maybe, but we should also say that the 805 has the fancy GPU that can push 4K to an external display, so it should... The idea is that they're pairing it with this new chip, so it should have the extra grunt to be able to do that. But again, there's still questions over how that's going to impact the battery.
I know from the Nexus 10, that's too much display to play Android games on. The Nexus 10 doesn't play games nearly as well as any other Android. You buy that cheap Galaxy Tab 3 and it plays games better than the Nexus 10, because it's trying to push too many pixels. And I'm afraid that's the same thing you're going to see on your phone.
On the other hand, we shouldn't maybe prejudge a phone that no one's seen yet.
I'm going to prejudge everything.
Alex is right. I'm excited for it. I've said forever, LG makes good stuff.
Yep.
What do you think of the back of this photo we got today? Looks kind of like plastic.
Yeah, so do the plastic phones they've made.
But, I mean, it looks more... I don't know, it looks kind of the same as what we got last year, whereas I think other manufacturers doing plastic have maybe moved on a little bit.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Look, I still miss that glass and crystal reflective process thing they did a couple years ago with the original Optimus G and the Nexus 4, but I don't think we're getting it back, so I got to get over that. Yeah, it is what it is.
As long as they pull a Samsung and make their plastic back better than last year's.
Well, this is what I was saying. It looks kind of glossy in the picture that we saw today.
Because the G2 is a nasty, slippery fingerprint mess on the back.
Well, they released a matte red version. I think Paul O'Brien had it at NWC, and that is way nicer than the horrible, glossy, fingerprinty one, which most people got.
Yep.
When it was first launched. So maybe they can do something different. We'll have to wait and see.
So that's that. You want to do some questions? We've been ignoring the Q&A.
Some Q&A.
Ask a question about something that Jerry doesn't hate today, huh?
Hey, Jerry, any good 4.4.3 rumors?
See, there you go, Phil.
Actually, I did just check this afternoon, and it's still pinging our servers in a way that I say pinging our server, you know, shows up in analytics in ways that we have previously seen, you know, pre-release software do. So, I mean, they're working on it. They're testing it.
It's a point release. It's going to come out. People are going to be excited, and it's going to be exactly the same as 4.4.2.
Yep. Hopefully it fixes the few bugs it needs to address, and it doesn't cause any new ones. So test it as long as you need to test it to make that happen, guys. Yep.
Don't worry about us. Ryan wants to know, anywhere in the Nexus 10 refresh? I love my 10-inch tablet and do not want a 7-inch, but I'm looking for something sexy and pretty much stock.
No comment.
Is it safe to say that maybe you want to watch rumors that have been going around about that recently?
I would say, if somebody said, Jerry, what rumors should I pay attention to? I would say pay attention to an 8.9-inch Nexus tablet from HTC, and it'll be the only tablet you'll be able to buy in Google Play.
There you go.
So there you go.
That's the rumors I would pay attention to.
Brian wants to know, has Phil built an Arc yet? Negative. It's actually very sunny here today. It's quite nice out and not hot. You know, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, yeah. 12 hours, guys. It was like I left the office. What time I leave here? Tuesday afternoon, like 4:15. Right as it started raining, you know. I think we got the 5 inches of rain between like 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. We got almost 6 inches in 2 hours, guys. Like I didn't even know that was possible. It was insane. I've seen 6 inches over like a 12-hour period, and that sucks. But wow.
Arvindo writes, what is Nexus Silver? Does it exist? So that was the other big rumor of this week. I think, was it The Information had that story? Something we'd heard before from, I think Android Police had a thing a while ago, and we also had tweets from someone but shortly before that about maybe the Nexus program going away. The latest rumor is supposedly that that is happening, that it's basically going to be faded out in favor of a more sort of retail-centric program called either Silver or Android Silver or whatever name you want to call it. Essentially, a bunch of Google Play Edition-like devices that are sold in stores directly to consumers that are kind of not directly subsidized by Google, but kind of backed up by them in terms of the support experience.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I still like the idea of a Nexus phone, just if it's something different. If it gets you hardware that you might not, in design that you might not otherwise get.
And like we said when this first broke back in, when the idea first came around back in January, if the Nexus goes away, you need something that replaces it as the go-to developer phone, something for Google to showcase new APIs and stuff on, something for a new version of Android to debut on. So if that's not a Nexus phone, is that they just pick one of the Silver devices and say, right, the new version of Android is going on that, or does everything get it, or how does that process work? Because that's going to be a big change to the way new versions of Android roll out.
I thought Jerry was going to say something.
We're fooling ourselves if we think there's not going to be an affordable Android development phone being able to be sold by Google. There has to be. Unless you want half the apps in Google Play to become abandoned and no new ones to come along. For every Foursquare or Facebook that's out there with a $1 billion budget and a team of developers, there are 500 guys working at home by themselves writing great apps that turn out to be amazing and everybody loves them, and they can't afford to buy 25 Android Silver devices to make sure it works on whatever platform it wants to work on. They need one phone they can buy that supports all the latest APIs, and that's what they develop with. We're always going to have that unless we switch to a different model where every phone has to meet certain minimum requirements like another company made of fruit. From a development standpoint, you have to have it.
We should say that every single rumor about this has basically been 2015 timeframe for this kicking in. So, there's a reasonable chance, we talked about the Nexus tablet, there's a reasonable chance we'll get a new Nexus phone this year as well. And the changeover will happen probably 12 months from now, if that, probably even further along.
You know what I think? When I hear the words Android Silver, It really sounds to me like a marketing team slide deck leak. It's a buzzword. Let's get our Google Play devices on the shelf at Best Buy, Sprint, T-Mobile, Verizon. Let's push these things. Let's get a better consumer-facing way to support them that involves Google and the manufacturers. That's what I can see happening. And advertisement to go behind them.
Yeah. We'll find out in 2 months.
Yep.
I guess. If not sooner or later.
Will we?
I don't know. Maybe. Frederick wants to know any speculations for Google I.O. So beyond those, I don't know. New APIs, new things? I want to hear more. I'm really interested to hear more about the Android Automotive, Open Automotive Alliance. Is that the name of it?
Yep.
Yeah. That's still just an untapped market. Especially, you know, we know Apple's going to come hard at it and probably do it right. And I very much want an Android solution for that. I badly want an Android solution for that. I'm tired of crappy. I'm tired of crappy car stereos. And I get that there's all this stuff that has to be done for safety and everything. But oh my god, like I bought the same deck. And yeah, I had one die on me, and I bought the same one again, or a very similar version, because it was so infuriating to learn the first time. I didn't want to have to bother learning a new one. I just got the same crappy one again with the horrible UX, and like, oh, because I mean, it was just that bad. I just want to be able to use my phone and make it work. And we know they're trying. They've been trying for, what was it, 3 years ago? I went to GM, and they were showing me how these things were starting to talk together very slowly. And, you know, here we are in 2014, still waiting. That's what I want. They want to send me home with a car. They can do that
too. That's going to be the giveaway. We'll drive everyone home in a self-driving car.
Here's a car. The bad news is you have to drive home from California. That's what I want. We'll definitely talk more Google I.O. as we get closer.
I think Android Wear is going to be a big part of it as well for obvious reasons. The G Watch, I think, is... Well, the G Watch and the Moto 360 are sort of tipped for summer releases. HTC's doing their thing towards the end of the year, so it makes sense to have that starting to get underway at I.O.
I'm going to guess they're going to talk about Android Wear, but we're not going to see anything yet.
Yeah.
I have a gut feeling that Android Wear is going to need the next version of Android to really kick off, which we may see at Google I.O., but
Did they say second half of the year or second quarter? Honestly,
I think it's the second quarter. It was
summerish. Some summer.
LG said summer. I don't know.
About Moto that. Said Q3. I think for the 360.
Okay. That makes more sense.
I have a gut feeling that there's some things in Android they're going to want to fix and make work a little bit better. But I think the biggest push we're going to see at I.O. this year is going to involve your television set.
You heard it here second, or eventually.
You talk to people, and you can't read a lot into what they say, and then you talk about things that you don't really want to talk about publicly, but I just have a feeling that this Google I.O. is going to be all about what's in your living room.
And that's, like we said before, that's an area Google badly needs to get right, because as good as the Chromecast is, that isn't a total solution to the living room. And, you know, they've got it wrong in a lot of ways before with Google TV and with, you know, remember the Nexus Q as well.
Everything I'm seeing and hearing, it's all starting to make sense to me. The Nexus Q was the developer nerd version. Let's see what we can do. Mm-hmm. Then they took it and they built what was good into a Chromecast that was super cheap for everybody to buy. Now how can we make it better? And I think the better is what we're going to see this year.
And I tell you, my kids are still loving the crap out of the Fire TV. Although, you know, you can put a PIN number on it so they can't buy stuff. And then you have to put that PIN in anytime you want to watch a video or anything like that. But you know, they have the option to hide the PIN, but it does that thing where it flashes up there for just a second. You know, kids are pretty smart. They can figure that number out pretty fast. It's just like, fine. I'm still leaving it there just as a roadblock. but fine. What else? What else?
Verizon Sony Xperia Z2.
Yes.
Oops.
Interesting.
Whoops.
Yes, and Sony published an image of a Z2 with a big Verizon logo across the top on Google Plus, and I think Facebook in some countries as well, the other day. Not something entirely new. I think EV Leaks had something on that back when we only had the code name for this thing. The Sirius was what it was called. I think there was a leak out of China a few weeks back as well. So it's all been building up to maybe Sony having their first significant device on Verizon since... I think the Xperia Play about 3 years ago, which was a weird one.
God, really?
Yeah. So it's a big deal for Sony because they're on the biggest carrier in the US, whereas they were stuck on T-Mobile before. It's a big deal for Verizon, I think, because they're reaching out to a manufacturer that has made good stuff, but has really struggled to get a foothold in the US market before. And
if it's true, because they said they were just mocking it up.
I'm sure it is a mock-up, but all pictures are mock-ups of that sort, sure. Right? That's the way it works.
And if it's not true, you can just cover it with duct tape.
Stop it.
Exactly. So, yeah, the other side of it is we should remember not every Verizon phone ends up actually launching.
Right.
So just because there is a Verizon version that's maybe out there or being tested or being mocked up doesn't necessarily mean it'll launch. This may be another HTC merch.
Or it could be... very delayed, like the Z1 coming to T-Mobile, or any of those other examples, or some of the crazy, completely different Sony phones that came out on AT&T before that were kind of carrier exclusive. You don't know what's going to happen in the end.
Well, maybe they have. I think they've said the unlocked version is coming to their store this summer. And bear in mind that the Z2 is only just now launching in Europe, and some Asian countries it's been delayed till June. So. You would imagine Verizon would want to get hold of it before the unlocked version gets out.
Verizon has two phones that they want you to buy right now. They don't want to add a third one to the mix just yet. And they've got the next Note coming up that, while it's in its own category of device, I don't think Verizon... I think Andrew's right. I think Verizon wants this later. They don't want to be first. They want it later, and they will find a reason to make theirs better.
Verizon knows exactly when it wants it.
I mean, right.
They've got their lineup scheduled, right? They know when they want it. They know why they want it then. I would just love to see Sony finally get a foothold here in the U.S. somehow. In a proper one, not some screwed-up carrier version of what otherwise used to be a really good phone.
And I would love to be able to go into the Verizon store and see all five brand new phones from every company all lined up on the shelf for you to buy at one time.
Man, I tell you,
that just doesn't happen.
I went into our Verizon store here. We only have like one big Verizon store here in Pensacola. They got a bunch of little ones. And I hadn't been there in a while, and they'd remodeled. And like, they sell it's like the Walmart of carrier stores, right? You can buy everything there. You can buy a Sphero. You can buy like every case imaginable. You can buy, they didn't have Sonos, but you can buy all the Beats headphones and speakers, and I can't remember if they had Parrot drones or not, but like so much stuff in there. It was really impressive. I think they had Logitech. I know they had all the fitness stuff, just really a lot going on. It's very much like a one-stop thing. It's pretty impressive and scary.
They don't have Lloyd cases.
They don't have Lloyd cases. You can only get those at shopandroid.com. Go buy them. Buy them all. But yeah, I mean, it was crazy. So they also changed their policy, so I can't like buy a company phone and have somebody from the home office call in. That was a little frustrating. Oh well. That's what I get for not doing it right.
Samsung Galaxy K Zoom.
Yes.
This week.
Oh, that happened too.
I'm irrationally excited about this thing. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a much sexier version of last year's Galaxy Zoom. It's a smartphone with a big ass camera on the end of it. Kind of like this guy, only it's an optical zoom, so it actually extends out, and it looks like it does so in a better way than the original Zoom.
Yeah, the Galaxy S4 Zoom was not a good phone. It wasn't a good camera. It was too bulky to be a phone. The camera was basically around the level of the Galaxy camera, but not quite as good. The zoom was a 10x zoom, not a 20x. And it looked like it was, I don't know, to me it seemed like just like a bad idea and not a particularly good execution of a bad idea. I'm still not convinced that optical zoom on a smartphone is something that is a good idea, but at least the K-Zoom seems like a better execution of that bad idea.
I think that's a lot of mechanics that are going to ended up getting broken in about 6 months. Just when you toss it on the table, kind of the wrong way. You know, smartphones take a lot of beating, a lot more than your average point and shoot will, that usually sits in a camera case or doesn't go everywhere with you. And I think that it's not going to hold up to the wear. You know, mechanical moving, you know, components just aren't going to hold up to the wear of a normal smartphone.
I think it looks pretty neat.
Yeah, I want to get some more time with it, see how the bulkiness has changed, because the issue with the S4 Zoom, besides the fact it was just chunky in general, was the fact that there was that raised area around the actual zoom lens, and that would always snag on the way in and out of your pocket. It just wasn't ideal. Maybe if they paired things back a little bit, that might be better. We'll have to see.
I think it's roughly twice the thickness of the S5, and then there's a small bump around the camera, but not as pronounced.
I just hope it's a good camera. I could care less about the phone or TouchWiz or any other nonsense. If it's a good point-and-shoot camera and one I can stick my SIM card in when I go on vacation to take pictures at, you know, Busch Gardens and automatically upload them, and they're better than a cell phone camera, I'm all for it. Buy it and only use it once a year.
Yeah, here's the thing. My thoughts on the S4 Zoom were basically that it, as a device as a whole, it didn't really gel, but it was a better camera than it was a phone. It made more sense as an Android-powered smart camera than it did as a phone with a big camera on the back.
But while you're on vacation and you're using something, or just out for a Saturday, it can also ring if somebody needs to contact you, or if you get a text, it can come through. I do see a use case for this, and if it's got a good camera, I'd be very interested in having one. I was really interested in the Galaxy S4 Zoom, but the camera was mediocre at best. I mean, I can get a lot better point-and-shoot camera for less money than that, so that's what I did. This one, I really want to look at. Knock me away, Samsung, do it.
Motorola event, May 13th in London.
Yes. What do you think? We saw more mentions of the, was it the Moto X Plus?
I'm not convinced it's going to be the Moto X Plus One.
Yeah.
Motorola, I mean, they're getting better at Europe, better in Europe, better at just not sucking at the European market. But I still don't think a Motorola flagship is going to be in Europe first. I think, especially based on the language in the invite that we got about being priced for everyone, I think it's more likely it's going to be this Moto E thing that's been rumored. $100 or £100 smartphone that's sub Moto G, but hopefully maybe a little bit more compelling on the feature side.
Yeah, I think it's a little early for a Moto X successor.
We should also say we're still waiting on Moto Maker in Europe. They said Q2, it was either Q2 or a few months on from release, so we're about due for that to launch over here, so maybe that'll be part of it as well.
I wonder how they'll do that. Will they be doing the assembly over there, or will they be doing it in
Shanghai? I recall them talking in MWC about it, that they were going to be doing assembly outside of Europe, but they have some kind of certain channels that they're working with. They can still get the phones to you within 5 days or something. I want to say they said 3 to 5 day time frame can still be preserved, even though they're not doing it in Europe. They were also restricting it. I think it was going to be just Germany and the UK to start.
See, I was hoping they were going to have like a flotilla where they made all their phones and they just kind of travel around.
The Google barge.
Yeah, that's right. What it's for.
Or a blimp or something. Yeah.
A Zeppelin.
Yeah.
We saw a new picture of the Amazon smartphone from BGR. I mean, I'm still kind of intrigued by this thing, although it's however they work cell data that I think is going to make or break it. And if it's an AT&T exclusive, we've seen how well that's worked for them so far, and not very.
Exactly.
I mean, the least interesting thing for me is the design, right? It looks like a smartphone.
Right.
Next time you talk to Derek, have him show you that Windsor knot. That's the exact same look. That kind thing of is the
looks like the back of a Nexus 4 to me.
Yeah.
Except for not glass in the back, obviously.
It doesn't have sparkles.
Let's do some more Q&A, and then we'll start wrapping it up, because we're going long today. That's all right. I'm okay with that. Pablo wants to know, do you think the OnePlus One will have a major impact in the U.S., even though by the time there's enough quantity to meet demand, the LG G3, Note 4, and Moto X will be on the horizon? No, it absolutely will not have a major.
It can't.
It's not intended to, is it, really?
No, it's not. Look, I mean, the only thing that makes a major impact in the U.S. is Samsung. In fact, let me check this. I meant to bring this up last week and I forgot. I was poking around like the HTC apps, and remember, you can see how many people download it. Yeah, I mean, you can get rough estimates of how many people download apps, right, in Google Play. So like the HTC Gallery app, which right now is still only on the M8, right? Right?
Right.
And well, there's the Desire 816, which is not many.
Okay, fine, but that's just going to make this story even worse. The Gallery app has between it, you know, they have different groups of, they're not categories, but different levels, right? So the Gallery app has between 100,000 and 500,000 installs. That's total installs. So for a phone like the M8, where it's you know, compulsory, really. I mean, if you have the phone, it's on there. You know, does that mean there are fewer than a million phone, you know, fewer than a million M8s out there? Or no more than 500,000 of them.
Right, that have been purchased and turned on and signed into a Play Store account.
Yeah, I mean, HTC will ship more than that, for sure.
Sure, and, you know, they're not going to give us numbers. But when I look at that, that worries me a little bit, and that there just aren't that many out there. Yeah, and you can look at, you know, any of the other apps. You know, here's the Stub Zoe app is the same thing, 100,000 to 500,000.
They need to start making commercials making fun of people buying Samsung phones. Make it a complete circle of life, and then everybody will get rich.
Yeah. It's, you know, here's the BlinkFeed app. Let's check it. 100,000 to 500,000.
Now go to, like, the S-Health upgrade while you're there looking.
That's not in here.
Well, Samsung put something in there.
S-Health is in Google Play.
Is it?
But the one that's pre-installed in S5 is updated through Samsung apps. But the app is there.
Right.
For all the older versions, I think, were through the Play Store. The new ones, by default, you get updates through Samsung apps, which is kind of annoying because you go into the Play Store, and if you happen to search for S-Health or see it in search results, it says it's not installed.
Oh, that's right.
Because Google Play doesn't think it's installed.
Yeah.
That's just a whole other thing, though.
So, yeah, I mean, as to what's going to make a major impact, it's... And that's not to say I don't want to see some other phone step up and do it, but I don't know. Andrew, what are the OnePlus One buttons made of? Plastic? Is the chrome bezel plastic or metallic? Asked Brian.
I want to say that the buttons are they feel plastic to me, but they're not they don't feel flimsy, and they're not loose in the spots or anything like that, so they feel fine. The rim is definitely plastic. It looks pretty good at that, but it's definitely plastic. And the back is plastic, too. There's no crazy ceramics or, you know, weird stuff going on there. Again, $300, they can't afford to put extra money into the buttons being metal. And I don't think you want the buttons to be metal in the first place. It's kind of weird.
Aaron wants to know, why has the Verizon Note 3 not gotten KitKat yet? I'll give you a hint. The answer is in the question. That's all I have to say about that. What? Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. There's some Verizon secret super spyware, bloatware, nonsense crap that just isn't updated and ready yet.
Here's a good one. Jerry, Sprint has released an official OTA update to Android 4.4.2 KitKat for the Sprint Galaxy S3. What will this do to my SD card?
Make it better?
No, tell him what it will do to it.
It will make it so an application can only write to the SD card in the folder that it owns, and it can no longer just write to any other application's data. What you're going to see is an app that you have been using before that has a folder on your SD card that you may use, or it gets songs or pictures from, it may stop working. Developers need to update their apps to work correctly with KitKat. A lot of people don't like the new way, the way that things are done, especially people that use third-party file browsers. There's not a lot that can be done. It's going to be Google's way, or you don't get Google Play. So it's something we need to get used to. It is more secure. It's less convenient. It's the way of the future if you want to have an SD card. I've railed against SD cards for 2.5 years. The way the SD cards are done in KitKat, I think it's great. I think that now you just have a big chunk that you can store stuff on. Your system is not using it as part of a system drive, and that's better in the long run, but we've got a lot of growing pains to get things sorted out.
And that goes into this question from Peter when he said, is Google planning to improve SD card support? KitKat made everything much worse. Is Google aware of the problems caused? Yeah, I guarantee you Google knows what it did. It did it.
Well, Google never built a phone that has KitKat with an SD card in it. The person's name is on the back of your phone did things a certain way that they can no longer do them now.
Well, Google sells phones with SD cards and KitKat through the Google Play editions, right?
Well, but they're not built by Google.
No, but that's you get them from Google.
Okay, you can.
That's kind of. I mean, it's a weird distinction, right? It's not. It's not a Google phone, but it's their software experience. It's their store.
And to 99% of the people who buy smartphones, they don't make that distinction. I mean, I get it. We get it.
True.
But, yeah. Peter also wants to know, will the new HTC One M8 version come unlocked to Europe at some point? What about the software enhancements for audio?
I'm probably going to say no.
Yeah, probably your best bet for that's a ROM. The custom ROM.
Actually, I think, yeah, there are already some out there that bring the software stuff across.
Yeah. Our pal Sakin wants to know, now that you've had the Nest thermostat for a few months, would you recommend it? Why or why not? I've had no problems with it. I've been perfectly happy. My only weird thing about it was, I think the thermometer is a little, I don't want to say off, but I have two digital thermometers next to each other, because I've got one of those indoor-outdoor like weather things right next to it. So it's usually like a degree or two different. So, you know, the Nest will say it's 74, the other one will say it's 75 or 76. So I've had, you know, a little bit of a learning curve there. But that's it. Yeah, I mean, it's not cheap. Look, it's $250. I don't know yet if I'm saving money on it. I assume it's going to make up for it somehow, but it's been hard to tell because it was such a cold winter. We had the heat on just a whole lot, but I assume we're saving a little bit by the time that it shuts itself off when we're not home and I'm not forgetting to turn it off and things like that. So that's important. But yeah, I like it. I think it's cool. I think it's a cool product. I love the idea of somebody coming in and doing that. I want to see more of that. So absolutely. You know, do your research, do your homework, go to the website, check the wiring, you know, make sure it's actually going to work where you live, but it's cool. It looks,
you know, interesting thing about the Nest is before Google bought it, everybody on the internet said it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Now that Google bought it, people have a lot more complaints. Is that because more people are using it, or is that just because people are naturally biased against a product that they don't? You know, I'm curious there. Have the sales really bumped?
Maybe there's an element of if you're buying from something that you know, you know, a company that you know is owned by Google, that maybe you expect more out of it than if it's a product from a startup.
Maybe. I've been kind of disappointed there haven't been more like big updates to it. In fact, I don't think I've updated it once, at least what's on the wall. Or if it has, it did it in the background and I didn't know it. Like, I kind of want it to get new features like my phone does. even though that's not really something you want to be messing with.
And oh, you mean you don't want a custom ROM on your Nest?
Yeah, come exactly. On. Well, and you don't want to drastically change the way it works every 3 months. And so I've kind of had to change my expectations there a little bit. But, you know, it works. It looks neat. I think in houses that have more than one thermostat could do some really interesting things. I love the idea of that category being shaken up by a product like that. Absolutely.
And not just because it's Google now. It was great when it was just Nest Labs.
Absolutely.
You know, let's keep going.
Yep. Let me dig a couple out of email here. Because we got a few good ones this week.
The next company, I want it to be garage door openers. Somebody build a garage door opener that, without me programming anything, opens my garage door when I pull into my driveway.
Yeah. Jonathan writes, and this first paragraph is extremely important, so I'll read it slowly. Let me just say, I am a big fan of the podcast. I've listened every week for the past couple years. When a new episode comes out, it goes to the top of my listen queue. Thanks for the great work you do.
Woo-hoo.
I should read it. He wants to know about a new phone for his wife. She has an HTC One S that's starting to get long in the tooth. And by the way, how great was that phone? You know, so underrated here in the States. Not in a huge hurry to get one, so if their phone's coming out in the next couple months, you think it might work well, give me something to watch. I tell you what, especially, and I was thinking about this today, and I'm trying to figure out how to write about the Moto X in the context of the GS5 and the M8, because they're very much apples and oranges and different devices. And What?
I'll write about it. It's still the best phone made. I'll write that anytime you want me to.
And that's kind of my point, especially when you can get it for $300 right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, off contract. It's
or even when it's $350 after the sale or whatever, right?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, they're different levels of smartphone, but it's still really, really good. I would almost argue against getting a wood back at this point, just because it's a little slick, and I don't think I made a big a deal out of that as I should have at the time, especially as I'm dealing with a slick M8. But yeah, the Moto X is still really, really good, guys.
Absolutely. And so if they're on, if she has a 1S right now, I'm assuming that means they're on T-Mobile, which means they might be on a simple choice plan where the price of the phone actually makes a difference, and that gives you even more weight to the Moto X over, you know, something that's going to be $650.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
You know, and that's right in the size range, right? Want something in the 4-inch range. It's a nice small. Do I have mine here? No, it's over there charging. And that was the thing when I picked it back up again today. It's just like, oh, this feels so much better in my hand than these bigger phones do. And that's
right. Coming from a 1S that had a, what, 4.3-inch screen on it?
S5 Moto X right there. That's what you're looking for, Phil.
Moto X has a case on it, too.
Yeah.
it's a very big size difference. The sticking point's the camera, right? I mean, it's not to say you can't get good pictures out of it. But, and they're asking about, you know, taking pictures of kids. And kids are always going to be tough to take pictures with without a really good smartphone camera, just because they're more.
You know what? I start telling people that want to take pictures of their kids.
Get another
buy camera. A camera.
Yeah.
Do yourself that favor because you're going to miss things with any smartphone. I don't care if you get the S5 or the newest iPhone. You're going to kick yourself at least once because you used a crappy camera to try to take a once-in-a-lifetime picture. Go to Target, Walmart, Kmart, camera shop. Buy a $200 point-and-shoot camera. It'll take beautiful pictures 99% of the time.
Yeah. And our pal Sakin asked another one. Where to go? Clicking on too many things at once. What tips and recommendations do you guys have to speed up a phone that has gotten slower?
Why has it gotten slower?
I don't know.
Factory reset. That's kind of the most drastic step you can probably take.
What usually happens there, and I know he didn't ask for commentary, but
Sachin, by the way, Sachin.
Oh, Sachin. I know. You know, I'm me, and I got to put my big mouth in.
Yes.
You started installing all these apps that are really cool and they're really great, and everybody thinks, oh, I need tons of RAM to run all these apps. No, you've got all these apps running when you start, or running when you toggle Wi-Fi, or running it, whatever toggle turns them on, and your CPU just can't take that. It's, if you take a brand new phone and load up all your apps on it, it's fine for a week or two. But then even after just a week, you notice the difference. Once these apps have some data in them and they're actually trying to process things all at the same time, it makes a difference. It's a trade-off. Do you want your phone to be able to do all that stuff? If so, you have to give it a little bit of time to do all that stuff. You can't get 12-core Xeon CPUs in your phone yet. So you're just going to have to put up with a little bit of it. The same thing with the Galaxy S5. People say, why isn't it so fast like the Nexus? Well, because it's doing about a million more things than the Nexus.
Go through, and every now and then I just go through my apps and I uninstall things I know I'm not using.
Yep.
Because I ended up, you know, I end up putting a lot of crap on these phones just from testing. And, you know, every now and then I just wipe it and I start over.
And really, that's all you can do, and be very choosy when you put your stuff back on. Mm-hmm. I only install an app when I need it.
Or I load up Art, because Art's always faster.
Oh, God, Phil.
Put your battery stats at the same time.
I'm kidding. Sorry. All right, are we done? I think we're almost done. I think we're done. We're going long. Couple inside baseball notes. Number one, if you haven't been to it, go to connectedly.com. We have rebranded Smartwatch Fans into something much better, I think. Absolutely kind of a big overarching all things connected site. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. We're going to do some things there we haven't done anywhere else yet. You're going to see some of us in there from time to time, and you're also seeing people from the other sites on AC just writing news and contributing and stuff. And so very much that's a sea change for us and a shift in direction. And I think it's a good one. I think it's important. There just aren't enough hours in the day for us to do everything we want right now. But go to Connectedly. They got a big launch contest going on right now. What else? I think you're going to start seeing ads on this podcast eventually, which is good, because right now we make zero money on it. And, you know, we're here to make money as well as inform and entertain. But, you know, we got to make money. That's what businesses do. So I'm not sure when that's going to start. Probably not next week, but relatively soon we're getting there. So I'll, you know, let you know more on that as I can. What else? Am I forgetting anything?
Richard and I will be in Paris next week for the Huawei event, which is looking a lot like it's going to be the Ascend P7.
Show off.
Yeah, I can't take a quick flight to Paris. Darn.
It's just like, yeah, it's like 90 minutes. So
fine.
And a bunch more events, like we've already said, later in the month. LG and Motorola and others.
It's not slowing down.
Nope.
I'll find lots of new stuff to hate.
Alright, well, if you want to email us, you can at podcast@androidcentral.com. You can get us all on Google Plus, just search our names, probably the easiest way to do it. Or on Twitter, you know, we're around. As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. Got so much Galaxy S5 stuff coming in. M8 stuff is in there. .view case, if you're still trying to get a hold of one of those, you can get it. You can call them at 888-468-6158, or just go to that website, just click on the little keyboard and go to the website. It's right there. Nice and easy. Good people. More stuff coming in all the time. And that's it, guys. I think we're done. I'm going to go clean out my garage some more. Find my kids.
Find your kids first. They can help you clean your garage.
That's true. That's a good idea. I should do that. Have some rain.
Not sure. They're not quite big enough to be handy with a big push broom or anything. But
no, they're actually kind of in the way, but it's very cute. So.
Well, you give them little brooms and they can go just like scuttle around. Try. By the end of the day, you'll want 5 more kids.
Yeah. No. No. I'll borrow some, as long as I can give them back later. But yeah. So, all right, that's it. Thank you, everybody, listening live. If you're listening recorded, that's cool, too. We appreciate you as well. Jerry, Alex, Andrew, thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for filling in for me this week while I was MIA a little bit.
Yep.
Say bye.
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 Bye.